He slept in his parents' bedroom until he was 13. He wet the bed until he was 14. He doesn't know how to ride a bike. Apparently, he has friends. Welcome to Socially Awkward with Evan Wexel.
Wexel.
Welcome to Socially Awkward with Evan Wexel. I'm Evan Wexel, and it's a podcast where I interview a different Facebook friend every episode. We are at Awkward with Evan on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok. Plus, there is the YouTube channel where you can find the Awkward archives as well as full episodes that have been streamed live. That is in the show notes, as well as ways to support the podcast at patreon.com/funnyevan and going to funnyforevertees.com. Now, this is episode 150. This is a milestone. It's also WrestleMania week, which, if you know me, you know I'm a fan. So I got on the podcast a fellow Wheel of Fortune contestant. He was the contestant. I was sitting in the audience all week, or all day. They just filmed the whole week in one day. Derek T. Lewis is a man among men. He is an actor. He is a ring announcer for wrestling. He is a singer. He is a podcast host. He is a media personality. He does everything. And I loved it when I met him. I loved his fan story, just all the events he'd gone to. And he shares a great story about how he ended up at WrestleMania 20 in Madison Square Garden, where now, you know, they're in giant venues. But this was like, that was like an intimate, you know, like 20,000 person event for WrestleMania. And he just takes me through everything. He's like an encyclopedia with some things with wrestling. And he's obviously rubbed a lot of shoulders with a lot of, rubbed a lot of elbows, I guess you'd say, with a lot of people along the way. He gives his shout outs. He probably set a socially awkward shout out record. So hopefully you, if your name is mentioned, appreciate him because he's great. And I got to even get into all his fandom because he likes each sport. He likes a different team from a different city. It's unfathomable, but he explains why. So, and also we break down WrestleMania match by match. We give our predictions, and I think we do it in a very efficient way, but also in a very informed way. So I like that. I like, this is probably the best card breakdown that I've ever done. So without further ado, let's get socially awkward with Derek T. Lewis.
Tuxedo. This is the 150th Facebook friend I have interviewed in my life. So, without further ado, it's a big week. I want to make it bigger by bringing in the most interesting man alive, Derek T. Lewis. He is the most interesting man alive because I made that I think it's called a cry-on. I don't even know what it's called, but he is. Mm-hmm. We met a year ago. When you were, this is the anniversary of you being on 1 year, being on Wheel of Fortune, and one year anniversary of me watching all five episodes from the seating area. Still, it was a great experience and great. It was great to meet you guys. We're all in touch still today.
Absolutely. And
yeah, I just loved it because I loved hearing your story. It was cool, like, because we've never met, but you've been like in wrestling for like so long. Like, I think there's photos of you at WrestleMania 20.
Yeah, that was the very first WrestleMania that I had an opportunity to see live in person.
Wow.
And the story on how I got the tickets was crazy because I think that Friday, the Friday before WrestleMania, a coworker of mine was like, "Hey, how bad do you want to go to WrestleMania?" I was like, "Oh my God, I had just got paid." And you got to remember, it was at Madison Square Garden. So those tickets went pretty fast. And I wasn't fully educated on the whole ticket scalper thing at that point. So he was like, "Hey, I know a guy that owns a ticket, you know, scalping site or whatever. He can get you the tickets by tomorrow. He'll FedEx them to you." So I called him, and the guy was like, "Yeah, I can get you such and such tickets, you know, for, was it $200 or whatever it was?" I'm like, "Okay, that's fine." Mm-hmm. So But then like maybe a half hour later, he said, look, I got to get rid of these. I'll put you dead center for $50 more. I said, perfect.
And what section, I did not what want section was this? Dead center where?
Section 335. So I was like in the uppers, but I was really dead center. I saw everything.
Wow.
So what I ended up doing was getting, I got the tickets because I was at work that Saturday and I was like, Mom, I said, I'm expecting a FedEx. Let me know the minute that it arrives. And she was like, okay. I said, now go inside of it and see what it is. And I called home. She was like, yeah, it's saying it's tickets for, I'm like, okay. I said, leave it right there on the counter, whatever. I'll get it when I get there. I did not want to believe that I got that I was at WrestleMania until I sat in my seat and I let out the biggest roar when I got inside Madison Square Garden. So it was a really cool experience. I actually met somebody that night on the way home, and he and I are friends today. Wow. And it was incredible. Shout out to Bob G out in Jersey. Mm-hmm. And we still talk today. So it was pretty dope that, you know, I got to meet a friend after, you know, after everything was over. But that was one of the really coolest experiences, getting to see WrestleMania live. But again, I've seen all WrestleManias in succession as it happened. So it's crazy to think we're at WrestleMania 40.
Right. What was it like, WrestleMania 20, the return of the dead man, the Undertaker? For me, that was the most goosebump moment. Like, what was it like being in the building for that?
Just hearing Paul Bearer saying it, oh, yes! You know, and the whole Druids coming out with the fire flames and everything. It's just like, and hearing the gong, it was just like, you can't buy, it's incredible, it's an incredible experience. Very, very incredible.
And that was back when like people actually cheered John Cena and they liked John Cena before he went through his like in between phase. He was against Big Show that day.
He was the opening match. He was the opening match against the Big Show.
Yeah.
For the United States Championship. Wow. It was crazy. There was no dark matches that night at all. There was no dark matches. So John Cena was the very first wrestler that the people saw when the show started. So it was a nice energy. It was really good to get that show started with him on there. And he did a nice promo in the beginning and he beat the Big Show, you know, for the United States Championship.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to get like, I remember your stories, like where you're now in Delaware, but you've grown up in the Northeast. Cause like, I'm trying to follow your sports allegiances and they're like, this for me, they're all over the place. Like, cause I think your football is Eagles.
No,
it's God, not no. Giants.
No.
What's your football?
New England Patriots.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, it startled me. And then, but hockey's Devils.
Yeah, Devils, yeah.
Yankees baseball? Oh, there we go.
Of course.
Me too. And then what about basketball?
Chicago Bulls.
Okay, so yeah, you're all. How did this all happen? How did someone like four different teams from four different places?
Sure. So what happened was growing up in North Jersey, obviously Yankees, my grandmother was not having it at all. I was like, she probably would have disowned me if I liked any other baseball team. So that was that. Bulls was because I saw Michael Jordan win the slam dunk, the second time he won the slam dunk contest.
Yeah.
And that's how I became a Bulls fan. Yeah. Now, growing up when I was little, I was a Giants fan. What happened is that Coach Bill Parcells had retired after Super Bowl 25. Mm-hmm. He had retired for 2 years for health reasons. He comes out of retirement and becomes a coach of the New England Patriots. And that's how I kind of segued that way. Simultaneously, I was a Giants fan and Patriots fan. But when the Giants drafted Eli Manning, I said, I will never root for this team ever again. So I've been over the last 31 years, I've been a Patriots fan, all stemming from the Bill Parcells era. That's when I became aware of, because it was crazy growing up. I thought that the Patriots played in Maine because it was like, they weren't Boston. You know what I mean? Right. Like the New England Patriots, I'm thinking, oh, they're probably in Maine somewhere. No. Oh,
Maine is so big.
I know, right?
Yes. And because it's weird, I'm a big Bon Jovi fan. So like with Jersey, he liked Parcells and Belichick, so he liked the Giants. But now he's all about the Patriots because of Robert Kraft. Like Robert Kraft is like his mentor, and Bill Belichick. So it's just weird how someone like, you know, you kind of navigate, you know, different sports teams, I guess, as time goes on. Now going back to the wrestling, I forgot what your stats were when you're at Wheel. Like you saw, you've seen like how many shows or like premium live events or like what have been I've some been of the to highlights so many. For you?
Well, my first ever live event that I saw was for my 18th birthday. It was Survivor Series 96 at Madison Square Garden. And I got to see the debut of Rocky Maivia.
No way.
It was incredible. And to be a part of that was amazing. And like there was Stone Cold Steve Austin against Bret Hart. He was returning. The main event was Shawn Michaels versus Sid. I thought that night was kind of the, I want to say they were kind of marinating the food, so to speak, of what's going to become in 1997, thus entering in the Attitude Era. I believe Survivor Series 96 was the start of that.
Yeah.
And then I think 2 years later, I went to SummerSlam 98 at the Garden. Then I went to Royal Rumble 2000 at the Garden. And then I went to Raw, like at the Meadowlands, right before WrestleMania 2000. I went to SmackDown at the Meadowlands in New Jersey during the summer 2000.
Right.
2001, I went to King of the Ring in Jersey. I went to a house show at Madison Square Garden. 2002, I went to Survivor Series. I mean, I've gone to numerous Raws and SmackDowns over the years. Let's see. Then, of course, 2004, I went to see Royal Rumble in Philly, WrestleMania 20, the Raw after Mania in Jersey. And then I went to No Mercy 2004 at the Meadowlands and Raw the next night at the Garden. And it was just like, it was constant like events I was going to, you know what I mean? Like I didn't care what it was. I was going to try to get there as best I could. And
yeah, you follow like you're waiting for the next episode. Like, come on, I got to know what happens next. I got to be there.
And I've seen myself on TV and stuff. And
yeah,
it's really cool. Now I don't really care where I sit because it doesn't really matter to me. I don't really want to be seen on TV. I don't care.
I've been on the Jumbotron thing a couple of times. I had a sign. It was a sign in LA when I think the Lakers, they double booked the Nuggets booked out Raw was booked in Denver, but Denver
2009. And the former CEO of WWE was making fun of the man of that owned the Nuggets. He was calling him, You're an Enos.
So I got to be at the LA event when they brought it to LA last minute. And they had like the big 5-on-5 Nuggets versus Lakers match,
which happened to be Mr. Kennedy's last night in WWE.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I like saying Kennedy still. I still like saying that to this day.
I worked with Kennedy. Was it 2 years ago? I worked with Kennedy. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. I worked with Mr. Kennedy and no. It was last year. It was last spring. I worked with Mr. Kennedy. He was really cool. Him, Savio Vega, and oh God, I'm trying to think of who else I worked with. Savio Vega, Mr. Kennedy, and Snitsky. Those are the three guys I got a chance to work with at a show.
Is this through your announcing? Is this the announcing you were doing?
Yeah, through announcing. Yeah.
That's because I know like I'm not going to be taking bumps in my life. So there's either two avenues. I'm either going to be an announcer or you got to be a referee, I assume. But or a valet or manager, either way. But like, how is it getting into announcing? Like, did you just show up and be like, you guys need help doing anything, or did it build? Like, how did your announcing come to be?
I got into the wrestling business very, very weird, to be honest with you. And I'm just saying that. But
yeah,
I knew a former ECW wrestler. He was a general manager at my gym. He was a former he actually trained at the Mazda factory back in the day and in the early the mid 90s before he got involved in ECW.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he and I just, I don't know, we just hit it off right away. He's from Jersey originally.
Right.
And he, for whatever reason, I don't know why, he just kind of treated me like his little brother almost. Yeah. And he was saying, hey man, by the way, you know, Mazda factory, you know, they're because that's when Danny Cage, shout out to Danny Cage, he basically
they have a series on Apple TV now, or they did have.
Yes, absolutely. You can check out Monster Factory, the docuseries, the award winning, by the way, Monster Factory on Apple TV is 6 30-minute episodes. But basically, Danny Cage had basically took over the Monster Factory from the late great Pretty Boy Larry Sharp, rest in peace. And you know, he was going to be under his vision. He was going to be doing the training and everything. And he was like, "Hey man, you got to start coming out to shows. Come on, you know." So I came out to a couple shows, and Danny, you know, friend requested me, which I thought was cool. And this was like 2012, 2013. Okay. And you know, I would every now and then I would go to a show. You know, I would go to a show and I would keep up with what's going on there. And by that time, obviously Matt Riddle was there, you know, Punishment Martinez, who you know is Damian Priest, he was there. And a list goes on and on. Steve Macklin was there. There were so many guys that came through the Monster Factory that went on to do some big, big things. And fast forward to 2018, the summer, they had got a local TV deal, Monster Factory. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of the company, out of Jersey. And they're going to be doing auditions, I guess, for managers, wrestlers, announcers, whatever.
Yeah.
So Dan was like, show up. So I showed up. I called some matches with this guy from Rhode Island. His name's Derek Moore. Shout out to Derek Moore.
Okay.
And I completely sucked at the commentator thing. It just wasn't, I don't know, it was just weird. And then I didn't really hear anything from Dan. Like he would comment on my, you know, we would just like post on each other's, you know, stuff, you know, like each other, but we didn't talk about anything wrestling wise. So I think the week before that show in September, I was like, yo, what's going on? He said, show up and bring a suit and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. And I had no idea what I was going to be doing. And from there, I was intimidated by these larger than life personalities. Damian Priest actually showed up because he was still with Ring of Honor and he was about to sign his deal with WWE. But he was agent. He was the agent for the Battle Royal. And he was there because he was one of the coaches there also too. He was one of the coaches at Monster Factory. He trained a lot of our guys. So, and girls, by the way. And he was just super intimidated. I'm like, oh my God. So Dan is like, you're going to be interviewing people on the back. And I'm like, okay. So all I can do is think about, you know, Mean Gene Okerlund and, you know, the people that end up in that Lillian Garcia and everyone that did that type of stuff, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it for a couple of shows. Like I got a chance to work with the Monster Abyss, so many other people, the Headbangers, but then they were phasing that out and I was showing up, but they were phasing it out. Yeah. And then one show, and Dan was like, I need you to be a ring announcer this week at this Friday night. We'll figure it out. And I'm like, I never did ring announcing a day in my life, but I'm a wrestling fan. And I never forget, I'm standing in the ring. Mind you, I had never stood in the ring before because I was always in the back. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I was even allowed to get into the ring. And I'm standing in the ring and I'm trying to get my balance because it's interesting because you got the padding and stuff like that. And I didn't realize that my nervousness was showing on my face. And Dan comes over and he was like, come here. And I'm like, he was like, can you please stop looking like you're so scared? He was like, how long have you been watching wrestling? He's like, you know what to do. He said, now effing do it.
Yeah.
And I, for what the experience that I had, I was like, all right. And next thing you know, and it was more or less about the flow of the show because now you're out there for the people and you're kind of getting as far as what the flow, because you're just, people think they know, but they don't know how to run a show. Why the first match is the opening match. There's a reason why matches are the way they are.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to take the fans off for a ride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So once the event was over, I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just did. And the boys were just like, yo man, have you ever done this before? I said, no. They said, you could have fooled me. And then it became, I was Derek Moore's understudy because Derek Moore was actually the ring announcer for the factory for a while. So I became his understudy. So he would do four matches. I would do four matches, but he would get the main event because he was the lead guy. Right. Then next thing you know, he was just like coming less and less and less. And I was getting more opportunities and it just became my gig. And I owe a huge thank you to Derek because he showed me a lot of different things. He showed me, you know, about engaging with the crowd, but also creating your own thing.
Right.
You can borrow here and there and borrow from this and that, but you have to make it your own thing. And thus that became what I'm doing now at the factory. Now you got fans saying, you know, hey, stroke the earring, and I'll stroke the earring. I made a t-shirt out of it. And it's insane. And it's like that led me to get other opportunities. So I'm also the ring announcer for ECWA. I just ring announced the Super 8 tournament last weekend. You know what I mean? And I thought it was a huge honor. Then I got the chance to work with Short Star Wrestling. I got a chance to work with the SWF. I had the chance to work with Standalone Wrestling. So there was a lot of opportunities that I had stemming from Danny Cage taking a shot on an almost 40-year-old greenhorn in 2018. Mm-hmm. Thus, you know, here I am, and I'm having the time of my life.
That's Anna, because I know, like, the thing that's cool about you is, like, it's not just even, like, announcing with you, like, you have your own podcast. You took your wheel money. You made a music video. Like that's the best. I mean, like where? So I know, like, what came first, like the music or the podcast, or how did that all weave in with announcing, or was it all just kind of how can I just do independent stuff?
Here's the crazy thing: my entertainment career started in 2010 as an actor, which I'm still doing today.
Yeah.
I'm an actor also. So I've been in quite a few films. You can check out my
IMDb.
My profile on IMDb. Yes. And I got the opportunity. I went to an acting school in Philly called John Robert Powers. And shout out to Mindy Sills, who gave me my first opportunity, you know, in learning. And Amanda Lynch. Can't forget about her.
Okay.
And it was a 3-month course. And I was like, okay. And I just started auditioning. You know, that summer 2010, you know, I was eager, I was green, but I was really hungry and I really wanted it. And
you've been going from like Jersey to New York consistently
from Delaware to New York. Yeah. Like I would drive halfway, you know, and then I would take the train up to New York and then I would just come right back. Like there were times I would be in New York for like a half hour and I'd just come right back.
Yeah.
You know, because I just like, I don't really feel the need to be in New York City. I can just do that. Audition, get on the train, and go home.
Wow.
So that was what I was doing. You know what I mean? And I got my first break, did an independent film, summer 2010, called Chess Boxing. Shout out to Rafiq Khan, who's a director, Ishmael Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Can't forget about you. Oh my God. Adrienne Farr. I could definitely cannot forget about her. And that was the first film that I did. And I was up, and I got that because of the fact that I happened to have my clothes with me. I had extra clothing with me where I was only supposed to be in a background extra. And I ended up getting bumped to principal because I had extra clothing with me and I had to learn lines on the fly. And that was it. That's how I was able to get on. And it just started from there. And it was because he said yes, that gave me other opportunities down the road. And I've been in films like Man on the Ledge with Sam Worthington. I've been in the first Creed movie. I was in that.
Oh, no
way. Yeah, I was in the first Creed movie.
Loved it.
Yeah, Andre Ward, the boxer. He was he actually did the scene with Tony Blue, who ended up boxing Creed in the end of the movie, the British guy. And they were doing something like a weigh-in scene, and I was like holding the belt, and they got
big scuffle. It again now.
Yeah, but then he was watching Sports Center. It's basically how that, because the scene was supposed to have been a lot longer than what it was, which is fine, but I did get camera time, which is awesome. Mm. And I was in that, and I did a lot of TV shows like on the ID channel and stuff. So I have a pretty interesting, as far as resume. But then from there, that led to launching the D-Lew podcast 10 years ago in March of 2014, which lasted 7 weeks. And I realized at that point, I said, you know, if I'm going to do this, I have to do this the right way. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I just didn't feel as though that I had the technology. I didn't have the connections of getting people on the show to interview them. Mm-hmm. I just felt as though that I needed to do more. I needed to dig into who Derek T. Lewis is as a talent, as a person, mm-hmm. and what I, you know, as far as taking it to the next level. And I started building these relationships in, you know, with, you know, doing the film thing, you know, doing a lot more movies, a lot of independent films. And then I got involved in music in 2015 when I recorded my very first single, which came out in 2016. And that afforded me to get involved with a music promotion company called Radio Pushers. Shout out to Jonathan P. Wright. Mm-hmm. And basically that afforded me to get in contact with a lot of independent artists. And that was another piece, you know what I mean? And then in 2018, I got involved in pro wrestling. Yeah. And then, and again, I revisited and I started doing podcasts for Radio Pushers. Mm-hmm. I want to say what, late 2022, early 2023? Mm-hmm. Or maybe, no, I'm sorry, it was late 2021, going into 2022. I started doing their podcast. And I was like, you know, I think now's the time to relaunch the D-Loop podcast. So I literally took a 9-year hiatus doing my own thing because I wanted to just build myself and bet on myself that I can just, you know, just more or less having all these contacts. Mm-hmm. And I started, you know, doing my thing as far as reaching out to people. Hey, I'm launching my podcast. You want to be a guest?
Yeah.
And I started lining them up as far as I would knock these interviews. I think about 16 interviews and they were all in the can. So all I had to do was do my intros and outros every single week and upload them. Yeah. And a beautiful young woman by the name of Chrissy Monroe, who had an opportunity to, she was on Love and Hip Hop season 5. Her and I met on Instagram, you know, just do networking and everything. And then I helped her do something. Mm-hmm. And she was like, if you ever need anything, let me know. And I asked her, I said, hey, do you want to be on the show? Like, oh my God, I'm sure. I'd love to help you out. And to this day, I always thank her, you know, for giving me a shot. Mm-hmm. And I relaunched the podcast, I think, was it January 19th of 2023? And
Believe thing? Is Believe like an umbrella?
That's what I'm about to get into.
Okay.
I had relaunched the podcast independently.
Right.
What I always heard about Believe Network, I always heard of them. I tweeted them a week after the Chrissy episode happened. I said, I would love to be part of the team, guys. And here's my latest episode. Mm-hmm. The same day that I got the email from Wheel stating that I was going to be on WWE Week, that same day, the person that was running Believe Network's Twitter DM'd me and said, hey, I would love, he's like, I heard the interview. I'd like to talk. Let's set up a time. Mm-hmm. And we did, you know, they sent me and it was like, we'd love to have you. You know, we know that you're still building and that's okay. There's a lot of other podcasts that we have on our network that's building, but you'll have a platform and you'll have a network behind you, which is important. So I'm like, okay. So they sent me the contract. You know, I had an opportunity to read everything over it and read the language and everything. It was pretty self-explanatory. And boom, I signed a contract with Believe. And I kept it quiet because when I was coming out to California to film Wheel.
Right.
The day I got there, I think it was January 31st. I checked in, you know, did the COVID test and all that stuff, checked into my hotel, and I took a lift to Manhattan Beach where their offices are, their studio is. And I told them I was coming. And they said, okay, great. So I filmed content while I was out there because I wanted to do the big reveal video. You know what I mean? Yep, so I did all of that. And I did a voiceover for it. And then that was it. And once, I think it was like a couple of weeks later, I had a write-up. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a press release and everything done that I was joining Believe, and I released a video and people were like, what? That's how that happened. And then it was written. Thus, I created the Believe in a D-Loop podcast shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was pretty dope on how that all just happened really, really fast. Thus, created the opportunity for me to cover Mania last year. So it was just, everything was like a whirlwind. And it was just like, I was just really just taking everything in stride.
Yeah. What's it like? Like you're airing on Wheel during the week and then you get the press credential. So are there certain events you need to attend as press, or are these just opportunities that WWE presents to you when you do that?
No, the Wheel and the press thing had absolutely nothing to do with the other.
Right. Right. But I'm saying but you got your credential through Believe.
Well, right. So here's what happened. I had to apply for the credentials.
Right.
I had to apply. Mm-hmm. So I applied and they said, we'll get back to you. And it was like a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I was I had a booking on a Friday night and it was in the middle of a match. Yeah. And I look at my email and it says, congratulations. And he offered me the credentials. I'm like, I had to tell one of the boys. I said, dude, can you read this email? He read it. He said, dude, WWE just offered you credentials for WrestleMania. I'm like, no, what? So that was insane. And then, so literally, here's the crazy part.
Yeah.
My episode of Wheel aired on March 28th. 5:15 in the morning. Yeah, it was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
The next morning at 5:15 in the morning, I'm on an airplane flying to Los Angeles for WrestleMania.
Because you got to go to this event, this community event, this community event.
You can
go to the shows as press.
Yeah. It was pretty dope. Like, I had a chance to cover a Boys and Girls Club event. Huge shout out to Titus O'Neil. Huge shout out to Xavier Woods, Lacey Evans, Liv Morgan. You know, the list goes on and on. It was crazy that Woods recognized me right away. He was like, wasn't you at Wheel of Fortune? I said, yeah. And Liv Morgan too. It was wild. So that's how that all happened. And then, you know, it was whirlwind. And I had covered the event. And then the next 2 days, I had to do the press junket where the wrestlers were making their rounds to all the different media outlets and everything. Right. And right. I was fortunate to get about 12 interviews,
which
can all be seen on my YouTube channel. And the most highest viewed videos out of all of them by a landslide was Rhea effing Ripley. And I mean, I might be over 40,000 views right now with Rhea Ripley. Like, she is that popular amongst wrestling fandom around the world.
Yeah. You know what I do sometimes? I've learned, like, how to recut old videos so I can, like, recycle the, like, old interviews or clips and stuff. Like, that way you can give it more life. Like, it's awesome.
Because
you have that. So, good. Now, in Delaware, you've got WrestleMania very close by to you in Philly. But you don't want to do the press thing again, or you're going to go to
I was not granted this year. I applied, and a lot of my contemporaries didn't get it either, so I didn't feel bad. It was just like, okay. I looked at it as like, hey, I did it last year. It's cool. Yeah. You know, I was good enough to get it last year, so it was just one of those things. And you just can't, you know, cry with spilled milk. But I'm still going to go. I'm still going to, you know, I'm going to go to Wale Mania too. I'm going to do that. Oh, I'm just going to just enjoy being a fan. And it's awesome. Yeah. It's cool to do that. So I'm going to go to WWE World. I already have my own booking with Monster Factory. Deep plug. Monster Factory. We've been
running
here.
A show that week?
We're running a show April 4th, 3 p.m. Eastern time. Doors open at 2. Get your tickets at monsterfactory.org. Steve Macklin, former TNA world champion Steve Macklin, is going to be there. Chaz and McKenzie is going to be there. The Notorious 187 Homicide is going to be there. There's going to be former NXT superstar, Notorious Mimi, who was known as Sloan Jacobs. She's going to be there.
Okay.
So trust me. If you haven't gotten your tickets, please do, because they're running out. Don't wait till the 11th hour, because we ain't going to get in.
Have you done stuff during Mania Week before with shows like that? Or
No, I haven't. This is like all new. This is all new, and, you know, it's great. And, I mean, Factory's running a show, and it's awesome. But I haven't really done a Mania Week thing, and except last year, except I was just doing press. You know what I mean? That was just great. and just being able to do. But what I wanted to say was just being in the press box at WrestleMania was just the most incredible thing experience wise that I ever had to, you know, it was so much fun. I met a lot of good people in the wrestling journalism space. Chris Van Vliet's a really good guy. Sean Ross Sapp's a good guy. Cameron Hawkins, Seahawk, he's an amazing dude. Those wrestling girls, you know what I mean? I met them. My boy Brian H. Ward is out of Baltimore. I've known him for years. You know, we had a chance to, you know, to chop it up. I had a chance to talk to Ariel Helwani, who's one of my heroes in this game. Sure. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I had a moment that Thursday morning before I went to the very first press junket. I broke down.
Wow.
I was at the hotel, and I'm literally, like, crying.
That's amazing.
Because I'm just like, the F am I doing here? And I remember calling Danny Cage, and I'm on the phone with him, and I'm like, yo, thank you for everything you ever did for me. I'm leaving him a voicemail crying. Yeah. And he texted me back. He said, no, you got yourself there. He said, no, go fucking kill it. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, all right. And, you know, to see somebody that, again, I'm much older than him, but he's far more experienced in this game than I am. John Alba, he came over to me. He said, yo, dude, you killing it in here, man. Keep doing what you're doing. And I'm just like, getting something like that from him, who is a journalist. He's on SNY. Covering a lot of the New York sports. He does that. Shout out to John Alba. You know what I mean? Sure. He's actually one of the managers. He's a heel manager at the factory. He manages the world renowned. So John Alba's one of the good guys out there, man. He's a real good dude. Big Bruce Springsteen fan too, by the way.
Okay.
And he's big, big fan of the boss. But
how's the food in the press box? Was it good? Was it like good, like good spread?
Yeah, it was awesome. There was stuff. I mean, I'm a pescatarian, so it's like they have some really good stuff that I can have. They had like a vegetarian chili, which is awesome.
Right.
But the food was almost like sprinkles on the cake. Really, just me being in the press box was amazing. Right. You know, and just being able to just experience that.
All right, so we are going to get back into my talk with Derek T. Lewis. But first, some ways to support the podcast. Go to patreon.com/funnyevan. For as little as $1 a month, you can help this podcast go so I can deliver more Facebook random friend interviews to you guys. There's also merch you can get from my store at Spring that has the podcast exclusive merchandise. But there's also my more generally based merchandise inspired by my comedy at funnyforevertees.com. Plus, for this episode, I just became a WWE shop affiliate. So if you check the show notes, if there's some wrestling stuff you want to get, man, it's all there, and it's going to be like site-wide deals, big time, especially when big events come around. So let's get back now to my talk with Derek. We are breaking down WrestleMania.
Okay, so we're experiencing WrestleMania 40 this weekend, two nights. So we're going to share. I want to run down these matches with you. And whether you want to answer it as a fan, as a media personality, if you have picks or points you want to make, up to you. But here, I'm going to try to share this. This is from, I think, Yahoo Entertainment. This is what I got. These are the matches. Triple H confirmed these tonight. First match. I mean, you know, we'll see. This is Rey. I like the last few matches that have come together. I feel like everything kind of is gelling at the right time. So like we have like Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee versus Santos Escobar, and then Dominic Mysterio comes out of nowhere to like irritate his dad. How do you see this going? Do you like how this all developed?
I totally see the heels winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I really don't think that Rey needs the dub. I think to get Santos over, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Dom, that they would need that more than Rey, just be honest. Yeah. I think they'll probably, and I think it'll be a situation of Carlito turning on Rey.
Interesting. Because, why wasn't he picked? Why they picked Dragon Lee?
That's exactly what I think the thing is going to be.
Yeah. And I like Santos. I liked him in the in NXT as the he running the bingo. I thought that was always like a great line. So I agree with that. I go with that. Then okay, let's go to the next one. Then next one back here is we got Jade Cargill, Naomi, Bianca Belair versus Damage Control, otherwise known as Asuka, Kairi Sane, Dakota Kai. Did you think it would? I thought like they would introduce Jade on SmackDown and then she would come out at the end to just have a showdown with Bianca, but I guess that might have to wait some months or a year.
Too soon to do that. And this is the booker in me. Yeah. You want to get Jade established in front of a WWE audience.
That's right.
You get her on there with two established stars. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm talking about Bianca and Naomi, who's way over babyfaces right now. Yep. And that's how you do it. And I think they go over on Damage Control.
Oh, I think, I think they destroyed them. Okay, let's see. Let's see what we got next. We got next here is, we got the six-pack challenge. So many tag teams. Okay, there's Judgment Day. There's DIY, Gargano, Ciampa, Awesome Truth, Ms. R-Truth, New Day, Kofi Xavier, A-Town Down Under, I didn't even know that was their name, Austin Theory, Grayson Waller, New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate. It's pretty tight. I'm leaning into Awesome Truth, but you tell me.
I heard a rumor that Theory and Grayson Waller might be pulled out of the match.
Oh, wow.
I heard a rumor, and I'm thinking, either the Dudley Boys, I think, or the recent free agents from TNA, the Motor City Machine Guns. That would be insane.
Okay. Okay. Or Nick Nemeth and the plan partner to me. No, I'm kidding.
No.
Okay. Let's see. Let's see what we got next. Okay, we got the Usos are gonna fight. See, I thought night one of WrestleMania last year was a lot more solid, like just as a night, and then obviously you save the big things for night two. I think it's a little more, it's gonna be loaded up here. We got the Usos, Jay versus Jimmy, Yeet versus No Yeet.
Jimmy's going over. Jimmy needs the rub more than Jay, because Jay, there's an expression. It's all about there's going over and there's getting over.
Okay.
Jimmy's going to go over, but Jay is still going to be over no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense. Do you think chicanery? Think Solo Sikoa is going to have a say in this?
I think so. Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Now here, I mean, I haven't watched Raw tonight yet. I mean, you've been watching it. We got Gunther versus Sami Zayn, and it seems like Sami Zayn, maybe he's plateauing in his popularity. Chad Gable, there was some interaction tonight that I'm look forward to watching. I'll probably watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, I still say Gunther retains, which will set up a match with Gable and Gunther on Raw, Gable wins in front of that. On Raw, Raw after Mania in Philly. Okay. Yes, you want to do that in front of that crowd.
That's right. All right. Very nice. Okay, so we got that one. Let's roll it to Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. This one has turned into a lot. There's a lot going on here.
A lot of meat on the bone.
A lot of meat on the bone.
They had an altercation earlier on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Ariel, who did a incredible interview with CM Punk and Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, but I'm waiting for that to drop on my podcast. I know it's on the YouTube probably.
Okay. I say Rhea retains.
Yeah, I mean, there is talk of Becky's contract being up soon, but I don't see her going anywhere where the way things are positioned. But I think she has one championship run in her at least.
Yeah.
The question is when you pull the trigger on that, but I think she needs more adversity to overcome. I think she needs more adversity to overcome to slingshot herself back up there.
Okay, right.
So we got that one. And then this is the final match for night one. We have the tag team match, Cody and Seth versus Roman Reigns and The Rock. If Cody and Seth win, no bloodline Sunday night. Not that they would abide by that anyway. But still, if Rock and Roman do win, then it's bloodline rules. And we'd see how night two materializes. So
I say the Rocky and Roman win.
Yeah, I feel like this has more heat. The tag match has more heat than the singles match on Sunday, it feels like. Because Rock has been the one, like, you know, commanding the space and just dictating how things are going. Even though I guess he said Roman told him to attack Cody. Still, it's all like Rocky's gone all in. So I think, okay, so then that's night one. Right. Now we're going to night two. And I guess this one still got time to build also, a little understated. We have the Pride, Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Final Testament, Karrion Kross, Akam and Rezar, AOC. Yeah, no, AOP. Sorry, AOC is someone else. So how do we see this going down?
I say that the Final Testament goes over, and I think Angelo Dawkins turns on Montez.
We gotta see what's going on, Montez. Montez, we need to make a decision on pretty soon.
Yeah, I think, and I, as much as I don't want the Street Profits to split, you know how it is. So I hope that's not the case, but that's what I'm thinking. I'm leaning towards they're gonna lose. Because I think you want to establish this new faction. And again, the Street Profits are over. Bobby Lashley's over. The heels need it more.
Good. And speaking of over, we have LA Knight versus AJ Styles. That's had some good old school booking here. Going to people's homes, getting arrested. Stuff kids go for. And I mean, LA Knight's my guy. I don't know. I'm all LA Knight, but I feel like it's his time to get this and show some displeasure. Yeah. Nothing wrong with fighting AJ Styles. I mean, it's a little TNA recycling here, but it's
great. Yeah, I see LA Knight going over.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I feel like there's maybe Money in the Bank will hit for him this year. Maybe
we shall see.
It's the same. And we'll also see what Damian Priest does with his Money in the Bank. I'll have predictions on that. Okay. So we're going to roll through these. Let's see the next matchup here. Yeah. This one could have been a one-on-one. We made it a triple threat. It's Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. Probably going to be some brass knucks, probably going to be some silly jumping and dives, but a lot of brutality. So how do we get, where do we get with this one?
I think Logan Paul walks out of Logan. Yeah. I think Logan Paul wins.
Still
it.
Still going to hang on to it. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Randy doesn't really need it. I mean, Kevin Owens is also like, he's always useful and always like makes his presence felt.
Agreed.
I think he wants more and I don't think he'll settle for a US title. So maybe
he's always been a US champ already.
Yeah. I think there's like I feel like there's maybe like another heel turn and then that will help him. I mean, a lot's going to hinge on what happens in the upper cards with the title matches, but
right. Yeah.
Cause he's kind of had his shots over the years. And now we got this one. We've got Asuka versus Bayley women's championship. So Bayley won the Rumble. Wait, now why Asuka? No, that's a typo. Io Sky. Shame on you, Yahoo. It's Io Sky versus Bayley. And Io Sky, wow. former allegiance, former, you know, running mates. And now they've gone their separate ways. Io Sky, genius of the sky.
I say Bayley wins. I think Bayley.
Crowning a moment.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think she comes out to the old theme music or just what's better, old theme music or Paramore? What do you think is?
I hope Paramore plays her to the ring.
That's right. Hashtag Paramore in the vein. Okay. That's right. That's one thing I wish I'd spoken to her about. All I did when at Wheel was harass her about the time I was DMing with her when I went to an NXT house show when my son was two and he named all the music of the wrestlers and she was going to give him her like headband and he shot her down. So she didn't remember. She's more like just what was his problem? That's all she said to me at like in Cocoa Beach, Florida. But I showed her an old photo. It was cool. It was cool. But I think Bayley wins and that'll go well. All right. Let's get next one we got here. Now we're talking. So these are the final two big matches. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre has been Hall of Fame social media and like meme master.
Player hater of the year, man.
Yes. So
for those that are familiar with Old Chappelle Show.
Yes. I love Old Chappelle Show. I would watch it on repeat. He should bring it back. Still bring it back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who do you see where like is this Drew's time? I mean, I've heard Drew's contract is almost up soon. So I don't know. Like, does that affect anything?
He's been too good. I'll put it to you this way. The winner of this match is going to be Mr. Money in the Bank.
Oh, there you go.
Priest.
You think he's going to break it up mid-match or is he going to wait?
Oh, like Drew McIntyre? Yeah.
Mid-match.
Yeah, I know. I think mid-match.
I could see Drew McIntyre winning, getting his moment for 3 minutes, and then they come out and they like Dom ambushes him, and then all of a sudden Damian could cash in that way.
Yeah, I can see that. But I think Priest is going to win.
Is he going to just show up mid-match, end of the match?
He's going to cash in during the match.
Okay, like a Seth Rollins, Brock, and Roman thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. He'll be swinging his title around at the end of this. All right, cool. I'm working out my arms. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do the last one. It's all built towards this. It's been over a year in the making. I mean, yes, maybe we do finish the story, but you never run out of stories. But right. I feel like if he loses, then what was the point? Dave LaGreca will be so upset. So
yeah.
I don't know. Where is this the time? Will he not reach Bruno Sammartino's 18-year run as champion? I don't know how long it was, but is this the story getting finished?
I'm pulling for Cody.
Yeah.
I am a proud Cody crybaby, ladies and gentlemen.
So if this happens with Bloodline rules, how does this happen for Cody? I have predictions.
Oh, I think The Rock turns on Roman.
Okay. I could see it where it's like an assembly line of legends coming down the ramp and just like laying waste to the Bloodline during this match. Like maybe something with John Cena, Stone Cold, maybe they all, even Hulk Hogan, why not Hogan, throw a punch. And they all just, it's just a cavalcade of, it's totally unfair. Bloodline rules turned on its head to negatively affect the Bloodline.
Right.
Maybe. But yes, Rock, if that's the turn and then it sets up 41, then we're talking. Because obviously we've been decoding the signs of The Rock over the months, like pointing to making you lose, holding up the L. That's right. Holding up the L.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But see, I'm looking forward. I think it's going to be a great Mania. I think everything's been under the guise of someone who knows what they're doing. And or maybe Shane McMahon will come out and then just throw all hell will break loose. Who knows?
That would be bonkers. Maybe cool. Shane get to finish his story too.
Shane will finish his story. Yes. And then he'll get kicked out again. We don't know. All right. So a lot to look forward to with WrestleMania. We're going to get this up soon, but of course, most interesting man in the world. There's all the places you can find him. Instagram, X, TikTok, YouTube, shop.derektlewis.com. I did go to the PWT link. I didn't come up, but let me know if I just typed it in wrong. Because I think it's cool. I think it's cool you have the stroke the earring, that shirt.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome. I mean, it was like, it was one of those things. And shout out to my beautiful girlfriend, Jasmine, who assisted me in designing that t-shirt, actually, nice. Because she was giving me some, she said, no, honey, you need to add a little bit of this. Get a little bit more shine on the earring. And it's just like, so.
Cool, man. Well, this is super awesome. Thanks for making the time. We're going to pump this out. With all the shout outs you gave, we have so many people to tag. We're going to have to list out like 50 people to tag, which is good. Yeah. That gets it circulated. And we'll clip this up also and send it to the world and tell the wheel deal what we did.
Absolutely.
So yeah. So yeah, hopefully our paths will cross soon. Yeah, I'm going to be on the East Coast next week, but I got to do stuff in, I got a gig in, first one's in upstate New York. And then I have one the next week in like Connecticut up there. So I don't get to Jersey till like June, but it's like a high school thing.
Anyway. Maybe you can hit up Grant, man. Hit him up.
Grant. Oh yeah. Grant can fly me from show to show. I should have him do that. That would be awesome. I would, yeah, I'd give him to fly me from Long Island to middle Connecticut. That'd be cool.
Connecticut, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's massing. Cause I gotta go to New London. So maybe we'll see if he can. Okay. I'm always up for a flight. Yeah. All right. D Lou, the podcast, the brand, the IMDb, it's all there, all happening. Check out WrestleMania. Check out Derek Lewis. Thanks for letting me be awkward with you.
Hey, man. Likewise, man. Take care.
Yeah. Take care. Hearts. So I want to thank Derek T. Lewis for coming on the podcast. Always great to chat wrestling with people. And this man knows his history, has the fandom, and has had a great experiences. And hopefully you guys dug that. Also great to hit Facebook friend number 150. We're in it to win it. So we're going to keep going. We're going to keep interviewing people. I'm going to bring them out of the woodwork from all walks of life. I have like relatives in the pipeline, strangers in the pipeline. So I'm going to keep pushing that and stay awkward because you know I will.
Thanks for listening. Go to awkwardwithevan.com to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Now for Evan's mom to pick out his clothes for tomorrow. See you next time on Socially Awkward with Evan Wexel.
Wexel.
Wexel.